Good morning. we're fighting with the computer and the projector. Well, good to see all of you. Glad to be back home again. My wife and I had a very special and very enjoyable, very meaningful week as we were down in the Dallas area at the church's headquarters for the conference and then a couple of days of meetings following that. Before I go any further, I want to share greetings with you from Mr. and Mrs. Neff. They were there at the conference. Both Mr. and Mrs. Neff were there. And, you know, they're always very uplifting and very positive, and they wanted to me to share their greetings. They remember everyone here well. They were here a relatively short time, I guess about 5 years, but it was a very intense time, especially the last year or so that they were here, and they very much connect with the Pittsburgh congregation. I know that some of you are still in touch with them as well. So anyway, greetings to you from the Neffs. I hope I can keep this within a relatively close to sermonette time length, but I wanted to take the time to share with you some of our experiences that we had this week. It is impossible to convey the conference to you in just a few minutes. You hear it all the time, but once again, it's true that this was the best ever. We have had a number of conferences, of the ministerial conferences, in our last 8 years, but this one was one in which the ministry was more closely unified and more positive and more enthusiastic than at any point I've ever experienced in this church. And I came away from it very encouraged and very uplifted, but also, frankly, very humbled because of the dedication that I see in so many of the men who share this responsibility, the instruction we received, and just the friendliness and I'll just, I guess the best way to put it is humility as well, in our leaders. Mr. Franks, Mr. Kylo, Mr. Horchek, Mr. Taylor, they all just work so well together, and they give us such a positive example, and they have such positive and encouraging things to share with us. So I'll try to give you a bit of a flavor of it. I'm going to go quickly day by day. I've got a few pictures. First of all, I'm not a photographer, and secondly, I don't think like a photographer, so my pictures are not always going to convey really what I would like to. So I want to apologize for the pictures in the first place, but I do want to share what I have with you. And I know that many of you have already been on Facebook and seen a lot of pictures that would be a lot more interesting than what I have. But I did want to, I'm old school enough, I didn't upload or even check anybody else's Facebook page. So what I have is what I have, and I'll be happy to share those with you. So we arrived Sunday afternoon. About noon or so, we were picked up at the airport by one of the local members, a man named Jerry Ross, and they took us to the Sheraton Hotel in McKinney. McKinney is about a half an hour north and a little bit, I think, east of the airport. It took about 30 minutes to drive between, and so it's relatively easy drive along the freeway to get between the airport and McKinney and the office. So this is the hotel we were at, Sheraton. It's a very nice hotel. But it's one we've used in the past for our conferences as well. And this is going to advance the slides, right? There you go. All right. The lobby was chaotic when we arrived. All the elders began showing up, beginning it shortly after in the early afternoon. It took a few hours for the staff of the hotel to get the rooms cleared and everyone assigned to a room. So there was a whole lot of milling about and just conversation and fellowship time, getting acquainted. Best I can compare it to would be the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles. You know what it's like when you show up and you're excited and you're seeing people you haven't seen for a while, and it's just a very positive environment, a lot to share and to enjoy together. The room was so loud it was actually hard to carry on a conversation because of all the fellowship that we were all enjoying together. At about 4 o'clock, it took until 4 o'clock for us to get our room assignment, and the dedication began at 5 o'clock. So we had to make a real quick transition to begin to gather over at the office building. The office building is about a quarter mile from this hotel. And so it's very convenient. I'm sure that it'll be used a lot for future meetings and conferences since it's so close to the office. There's another new hotel about a quarter mile on the other side. So there's plenty of very convenient for hotel space. The office building, you've seen pictures of it already, but it's just a very, you know, it's very exciting to walk up and see it for yourself and to be there and to see the way that it's coming together. There's still some work that's being done. They're installing a sprinkler system, and they've got some of the area kind of still dug up. But it's just a very impressive, very attractive building. We began to gather for the dedication about 4:30 or so. There had been violent thunderstorms in the area on Saturday. They even had to cancel services in Fort Worth because of flooding in the immediate area. But the storm passed, and Sunday was a clear and warm day, about 85 degrees, but not a lot of humidity. But still, sitting out in the direct sunlight was a bit toasty. Mr. Franks announced the next day that there were 454 people at the dedication. And of those, a little over 300 represented the elders who were coming for the conference. So there are quite a few local members as well. The ceremony itself was about a half hour in length. There were short introductory comments by Mr. Franks and Mr. Meeker, and then a general blessing on the occasion and on the meeting, on the building itself, for its use as, you know, in God, doing God's work. That prayer was offered by Mr. Joel Meeker. There was also a choir. This is a little hard to see. We were sitting out in the sun, and they were in the shade, so it's not a real clear picture, but there was a choir made up of elders and wives that performed a special piece of music as well that was part of the program. That was about 30 minutes in length, and then they turned us all loose to go wander around in and explore the building. I've got a few pictures of the interior of the building. It's kind of a crowd shot looking over at the choir. When we come into the building from the door we entered, we come first to the Foundation Institute classroom, and that's where they had these chairs set up. They used the same room later in the week for a meeting of all the international ministers who gathered for a day of meetings for just the internationals. It's set up auditorium style here, of course, classroom style. When they have the classes there, they'll be sitting at tables rather than just sitting in this configuration. This is another view of the room. You can see they have nice screens there for with videos they show and other teaching techniques they'll be using. It's a very nice big open room. It can seat about 50 to 55 total. Theater style. For the classroom, I think it can still hold pretty close to 50. They have so far 18 who have been accepted to the FI program for the upcoming year, so they've got plenty of room. I think there are about 50 to 60 that will be going for the classes in July, the week-long classes that they offer. It's part of the program as well. Just outside the FI classroom is their break room. This is where the students will be able to have their meals. There's a full kitchen there, plenty of tables for comfortable seating. There's a nice big open room, windows. You don't really see it, but to the left of the picture, the wall is all open windows. Nice view out over the area where the dedication had been set up. And they were serving snacks to those at the who were there to for the dedication ceremony. There were, I said, over 450 at the ceremony. When we all went into the building, it's a large enough building that we all were still able to move very comfortably, that it wasn't overcrowded in any particular place as we were moving along to take our little tours of the building. Just outside the FI classroom, there's a small reference library. Some of the commentaries and other works. Dr. Levy's office is just right off the break room, and he was there guarding the door as people were coming through to have a look. Mr. Saul Longarica is standing there with him. I wanted to do this picture. It just doesn't show a lot, except you see the man standing right there looking at the little yellow tablet or piece of paper. I wanted you to notice how he's about probably 5'10", 6 foot tall. Look at how tall that door is. My thought is that they must expect people to grow a lot from the work that's going to be done at the office. But that you can see how tall or how high the ceilings are. Gives it a very open and comfortable feel to it. The hallways are also very wide as you walk throughout the building. And it's basically just a functional office building. It's nice. It's good high quality. But there's nothing that where you'd walk away saying, wow, they sure spent a lot on that. You know, it's not ostentatious. It's just a nice, functional, pleasant, bright and light building. The reception area is beautiful. The desk, this is right inside the front door. The way they're working it now, I suppose it'll be the way it continues. They're security conscious. So all of the employees have a little card key they can, you know, one of those readers that will open the door for them as they come in, and the receptionist actually has to buzz you in or unlock the door for each individual who comes into the building. So they want to keep an eye on and keep it secure. But it's just a very beautiful lobby area as you come in, and this is how it filled up with those who were touring the building on that Sunday afternoon. This is, of course, the recording studio, the desk that Mr. Franks and others will sit at as they do In Accord, and as they do the Foundation Institute Bible studies. The green screen behind it is where they can project graphics. When they do the recording, all the person sees who's doing the recording is that green screen, but they can later go in and add the graphics and the videos and so on and behind whoever's doing the recording. Some of the equipment. It's a large room. I don't know if you had ever seen the previous one. It's probably twice or more the size of the previous recording studio. And you can see over there where those yellow chairs are. It's kind of an area where they can do interviews. They can sit and turn the cameras around and point them in that direction for anything they do besides just the sitting at the desk. There's the control room. Lots of impressive looking equipment there to control the audio and the video as the recordings are being made. You've probably seen pictures of the conference room already, and Mr. Franks has explained that conference room table is one that they purchased used at a fraction, literally a fraction of what it originally cost. There's a member in the church in Dallas who is an interior decorator. In fact, one of the most successful and well-known interior decorators in the area. And she just happens to have recently come into the church at just about the time that it was necessary to begin putting together the interior. And she has a lot of contacts, a lot of business contacts, and was very pleased and excited to be able to help with finishing out the furnishing and the interior decorating touches. You see there's it's glass on the one wall. That's the hallway that goes from the lobby on down toward the back of the building. So I imagine there are some drapes there. I don't know, but the conference room is very open. You can seat about 20, 22 people around that table. So it's a beautiful room. And it's again, much bigger, much more functional than the previous one. This is Mr. Frank's office. We made our way through the building, and we finally got back to where his office is just about the time they were trying to get everyone to leave, because the people didn't want to go home. It was about 7 o'clock, and Mr. Franks had said that's when we're going to... So they were flicking the lights and getting us all to leave. So I just kind of peeked inside the door, and I said, well, and Mr. and Mrs. Franks were both in the room. So I said, well, you know, don't want to bother you. I see it's time for us all to be leaving. And she said, no. She said, come on in. I want you to see something. So Mrs. Franks said, look at this beautiful office, all the furniture and the beautiful view. I cannot talk my husband into buying a new chair. She said, I'm trying to shame him into getting a new office chair. So I want everyone to see what he But I guess that's comfortable, and he doesn't want to give it up. So he kept that for his office. This is Mr. Kylo's office. It's that bright white in the background. It looks like it might be a TV screen. It's actually just the sun coming through the window onto the bulletin board behind his desk. But there, all the offices, again, are nice. They're nicely functional with a good desk and with all the electronic connections they need for the computers and all. And it's a very, very pleasant, very functional building. So then that's the exterior. Now, some of the pictures I took of the building are brighter than others because it was overcast on one day. This was a little later in the week when the weather was a little nicer. And you can see in the foreground there that they are still working on the landscaping and putting on the finishing touches. So that was Sunday afternoon. We spent at the office getting kind of oriented and having a chance to become acquainted with the new building. The entrance is very impressive. There are seven pillars around the entrance, which is they look really nice. I'm sure it's kind of a significant way as well for the building to be designed. This is a scene at the hotel in the meeting room we used for all of the meetings. Again, fellowship and time together was one of the major highlights of the meetings themselves, which took place on Monday and Tuesday. Mr. Franks chided us more than once. He said, "Look, you guys all go home to your congregations and you tell them to sit down and be quiet so we can start services, and we can't get you to sit down and be quiet so we can start the meetings." Finally we caught on and we were able a little more cooperative, but it was a very... Certainly everything about it was just, again, so very positive and uplifting. A quick overview of some of the presentations that were made. Mr. Franks emphasized the theme of Psalm 127, that unless God builds the house, the workers' efforts are vain. He pointed out that God has had four dwelling places that we know of in Scripture. There was the tabernacle, the first temple, the second temple, and the church. And of all the dwelling places that God has been in, the first three were all destroyed. We don't really know what happened to the tabernacle. It doesn't say, but it was basically a tent replaced by the temple. We know the first temple was destroyed when Judah was taken into captivity. The second temple was destroyed in 69 A.D. The only structure in which God dwells that is indestructible is the church. And he is building... along with that theme, that he is building his house, he's building his structure, and we are all part of that structure. Franks highlighted what he hoped would be accomplished in the meetings that we had together. First of all, he wants to inspire and encourage the ministry and our service to the church. It's not as if it isn't being done, but he wanted to give us that extra boost and that extra inspiration and encouragement, and I certainly felt it myself. He emphasized how each individual member of the church is a personal story. That was kind of a theme throughout the conferences, that each one of us has our own story, our own history of how we became part of God's church and our part in God's church. He pointed out how the message of the gospel changes lives in the individuals that God calls. And he encouraged, again, the ministry to continue to be in their efforts to serve those that God has called and whose lives are being changed. He reminded us to genuinely love the brethren, to speak the truth in love, correcting when necessary, but also in love, and emphasized how every part, as it says in Ephesians 2, works together to complete the building that's being constructed, the spiritual house. He also emphasized the importance of being on the lookout for and training future leaders. And that was another theme, actually, of the conference, was the growth that we have seen and the need that we still have for leaders to be developed. The emphasis throughout the conference was not on statistics as much as it is on people. And that was what he wanted to emphasize. The personal stories and the way that God is working in our lives, the impact of God's way on each one of us. Mr. Kylo spoke next He opened with an intriguing question. He said, if you could pick the next 50 people that God will call, who would you choose? Who would you choose if you had the power, the authority to call 50 people into God's church? The point that he made was that God is only God knows who he can call and who he will call and what he wants to do with whom he's going to work now. He talked about the miracle of calling. He related a couple of stories of how people, through seemingly coincidental circumstances, came across families and members of the church and website and the information that they had that brought them into the church. Again, everyone has his own story. Our job, he pointed out, is to preach the gospel. God's job is to bring people in. And we talk about doing God's work. Actually, what God does, God's work. God's work is to do the calling and to build the house. Our work is to do what God has assigned to us, which is to preach the gospel and to care for those that he does call. Mr. Horchak spoke next. He spoke to the ministry about the ministry. He pointed out that since the last conference, which was 2 years ago, 13 elders have been ordained into the ministry, and 9 elders have died. And so we're growing, and we have growth in leadership, but we also have an aging ministry as well. And he spoke of the importance of growth together and growth in the unity in the ministry as well as in the church. Mr. Taylor gave a presentation then. He spoke about the church's finances and how they have been steady and have been very stable over the years of the COGWA organization. He emphasized one point that is significant for us all to remember, that many of the ministers, as we've been told, will be retiring over the next 10 years. At the same time, members of the church are also in that same category, and many of those are the primarily provide the tithes and offerings of the church. So that within 10 years, when the church's financial need for supporting retired ministers will be increasing, it's possible that the amount of tithes and offerings being given to the church will also significantly drop as they're... those that are making a fair amount of money now will begin retiring and not have that same level of income. And he said, on paper, it doesn't work. On paper, there's not a way to sustain the needs of the church based on the projected resources of the church. So it certainly is something to pray about. We don't doubt that God will provide, but the arithmetic doesn't work in terms of the church continuing to have the financial needs or have those needs met. So something to be part of our prayers that God will continue to provide. Tuesday, that was on Monday. Tuesday were reports from international areas. Mr. Walker, Mr. Baker, Mr. Hampton, Mr. Meeker, again, told several individual stories of people who, how they were called, the circumstances that brought them into the church or back into the church if they had not been with the church for a period of time. Hope we can someday have that video available. I would enjoy showing that to you because those stories of individuals are truly inspiring. Mr. Levy also spoke of those who are Foundation Institute graduates and the part that they have taken in the church, many of them growing into leadership responsibilities. There have been 123 graduates in the last 7 years, and it continues to have a positive impact on the growth and personal growth within the church. There was a special ceremony in which I believe it was 9 elders were recognized for 50 years of service in the ministry, half a century serving in the ministry, and they received a little plaque and there's a short little thumbnail sketch of each of them and their various responsibilities over the years. Again, very uplifting and inspiring part of the program. One of those who was recognized was Lyle Welty, who, of course, is a good friend from just west of us in Ohio. One of the most enjoyable and uplifting and encouraging parts of the program was on Tuesday afternoon. They called it New Minister's Perspective. And there were three men who had recently been hired. And they each gave about a 30-minute presentation, an icebreaker, essentially. And they told their story, how they came into the church, how they had opportunities to grow, how they eventually became ordained, their excitement and terror at being hired, and the stress or the pressure they feel stepping into that position. All young men, one of whom spoke to us was Zach Smith. Of course, we know him from the Akron area, now down in Houston. The other was Nathan Willoughby, and the third was Daniel Harper. And again, I hope that at some point those videos would be available, because I think you would be really inspired to hear. And one point of it is, again, the church does have new, younger ministers who are just as excited about and involved in and dedicated to the work of the church as any of the older ministers. So it's a very positive kind of an environment that God is providing for us to work in. And there we are milling around when we're probably supposed to be sitting and listening. This is just a shot. They took individual pictures of actually the couples, and then for their records, and this was where they had set up to do the pictures of the elders. It's Mr. Hampton making a presentation. On Wednesday and Thursday, I did remain there at the office, and we had some doctrine committee meetings. The doctrine committee has only had a chance to meet face-to-face or sit down together in the same room, I think four times in the years we've been working. We generally work by teleconference or email. So it was very productive for us. We got a lot more work done sitting there face-to-face or with each other than we normally would be able to do in a much longer period of time. So it was very productive and very helpful series of meetings that we had on Wednesday and Thursday. And, you know, I just couldn't take enough pictures. I just really wanted to try to... It's one of those things where you see so many pictures. You see something that you want to capture in a picture, and you take picture after picture, but you really can't see it. It's not really... it doesn't really convey what you were trying to capture. But God has provided us with tremendous resources. The building itself, Mr. Franks again emphasizes, it's just a building. It's just a place. But what happens there with God's blessing is what's important. And certainly the conference that we had helps us to anticipate and to find that there's really comfortable and functional place for God's work to be done. I put a couple of things at the information table for you. There's a list of all the ministers who were at the conference. There's a summary here that shows all of the some statistical information about the church in different areas. And then you've seen this before, but it's a copy of the schedule for the meetings on Monday and Tuesday. If anybody ever gives a sermonette this long, I will have to sit them down and correct them and say, you don't do that. That's not the way it's supposed to work. But I wanted to take time that would be able to convey, at least give you a flavor, a taste of the conference. We're very thankful. It was a very special and meaningful time, and I think it will be of great benefit to the church. So that'll be all for that, and we'll go back to where we belong in the services.
Thank you, Mr. Henson. Well, brethren, we have another opportunity to sing a hymn of praise to God, so if you'll please take up your hymnals and stand.